Please rise in body or spirit for the reading of the scripture. At one time, you were like a dead person because of the things you did wrong and your offenses against God. You used to live like people of this world. You followed the rules of a destructive spiritual power. This is the spirit of disobedience to God's will that is now at work in persons whose lives are characterized by disobedience. At one time, you were like those persons. All of you used to do whatever felt good and whatever you thought you wanted so that you were children headed for punishment, just like everyone else. However, God is rich in mercy. He brought us to life with Christ while we were dead as a result of those things that we did wrong. He did this because of the great love that he has for us. You are saved by God's grace. And God raised us up and seated us in the heavens with Christ Jesus. God did this to show future generations the greatness of his grace by the goodness that God has shown us in Christ Jesus. You are saved by God's grace because of your faith. This salvation is God's gift. It's not something you possessed. It's not something you did that you can be proud of. Instead, we are God's accomplishment, created in Christ to do good things. God planned for these good things to be the way that we live our lives. The inspired word of God for the people of God.
As we get started with the sermon, I wanted to take a minute for us to just take a deep breath and notice yourself here, that you are in this place. You are in worship this morning with your sisters and brothers gathered here. And it's not just us that's here, God is here. God has come to speak to us. God loves you. God has something to say to you and to me and to all of us. So Lord, give us ears to hear your voice. Amen. You can go to the next slide, please, Leah. Thank you. This is our fourth week talking about the cycle of grace. And this is a graphic that explains the cycle of grace. And it starts in the lower left with the word acceptance. And it works its way through to fruitfulness. And so today we're going to talk about kind of what we would call the end of that, the fruitfulness part. And it's interesting because fruitfulness is what caused the cycle even to come about, that raised the question, because fruitfulness was what the author was first looking at. They were looking at why it is that missionaries have all of this fruit, but then they burn out. And then when they burn out, then they're no longer fruitful because they quit and they leave their mission. And so that was happening a lot. And the author said, I wonder why this is happening and how can we make the cycle of ministry more like what Jesus had. And so by looking at the Gospels, they were able to come up with these four things that Jesus did in his ministry that sustained his ministry. And so the first part is acceptance. And this is where we understand that we are accepted by God. We are a child of God. And in the life of Jesus, we saw this when Jesus was baptized. The Holy Spirit descended like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, "You are my son. I am pleased with you." And then in us, we get it the same way. It's like we begin to understand that God loves us. God accepts us. Through faith, we are a child of God. And then it moves to sustenance. Sustenance is when we have practices that God has given us that sustain our faith, that make us stronger. In Jesus' life, we saw this through prayer, going to the synagogue, reading his scriptures, being with others. Those were all ways that Jesus sustained his understanding of who he was and sustained his ministry. And it's the same things that we use today. Then we get our significance or our identity. The point of who we are and why we are all comes from God. So that's significance. And in Jesus, we saw Jesus do things and say things like, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I am here to be about my Father's business. Words like that are Jesus understanding who he was, his identity, his significance. And we do the same thing when we point others to God as well. And then from there, we get to the point of fruitfulness. And so that's what we're talking about today, is how we are fruitful. It's easy to look at the life of Jesus, and Jesus had a whole lot of fruit. So Jesus healed, he taught, he preached, he spent time with all kinds of people, and ultimately he was betrayed, he suffered, he died. Those were all fruits of the ministry of Jesus. So whenever I'm going to talk about fruits today, the fruits that we want are the fruits from this cycle. Okay, they are from this cycle, and they're life-giving, and they're natural. They're not something that we just have to do. They're something that flows from the life that is in this cycle. They flow from our acceptance and our understanding of our significance. Okay, they don't exist apart from that, and they're varied. Certainly, they're going to be the things like the fruits of the Spirit that we read about in Galatians: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, self-control, all of those. But they're also diverse. They're diverse, like teaching a lesson, changing the oil in the car, changing a diaper, giving a hug, praying a prayer for someone, drafting a memo, or writing an article, swapping out a hard drive, hiring a candidate or sifting through resumes, researching a contract, performing a solo or a surgery, or executing the perfect play, or keeping the water running all winter long for your livestock. You know, all of those things, and many, many more. You could go on and on forever. They're all fruit that we have produced by God in us. They are fruits from the Holy Spirit within us. And when they are produced out of this cycle, they are fulfilling. They are life-giving. And they simply come. They just come about. Jesus didn't force his fruit. It came naturally because he was God's son. So we don't need to force our fruits either. But when fruits are produced outside of the cycle of grace, they're also good, and they look like the same fruits that we produce in the cycle of grace, but after a time of producing that kind of fruit, we get burned out. We get cynical. We start to not like the people that we work with, or the people that we work for, or the people that we live with, and we begin to feel unvalued. We begin to feel that our life is pointless. That's what happens when we're just producing fruit and we're not producing it from the cycle of grace. So preaching on this topic is kind of nerve-wracking to me. It causes fear, and I take it very seriously because our culture is so filled with the idolization of achievements. We look so much like our culture, even in this place. Like, how often do we share joys and concerns that are of achievement? Like honor rolls, games won, going to the state tournament, anniversaries, things like that that our culture all celebrates. And I'm not saying that's bad. Don't mishear me. We should celebrate those things in worship. This is the right place to celebrate them. Because when we mention all of those good things that God has done in us in a house of worship, we are giving them to God. It is an act of worship. This is the right place to do that. But there's lots of other things in our lives that deserve celebration. There are lots of other things in our lives that are fruit that we don't ever hear in a microphone in a joy and concern time. Things like, our team had a losing record. We were terrible, but we did our best, and we grew. And we know that God used us. This was a good thing. Or, I failed English because I didn't turn in a single assignment. But somehow my parents still love me. And they say that eventually God will use this in my life, and I think that maybe God will. Or things like, I was stupid, or my child was stupid. They were arrested, they lost their driver's license. But this doesn't define me. Yes, they have to pay fines. I have to pay fines. There are consequences, but I am a child of God. I belong to God. Or I had a fight with my parents, but somehow, by God's grace, we eventually were able to listen to each other. And we heard each other. And it worked out. I lost my job, but I trust God will provide for me. I'm retired now. I've made it. But I have no purpose. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. But I'm praying for courage to try something different. I'm praying for courage to say yes to one of those things I've been invited to. All of those situations are real, they're normal, and they are fruitful. Those are fruits, too, that can be from the cycle of grace, because they're blossoming from what God is doing within people. But they don't look the same as our cultural achievements. They look different. When people understand that they are accepted by God, and when they are sustained by God, and they get their identity from God, then all of their fruits, whatever it is, are things that are from God and for God and are for God's glory. But when we do it the other way around, when we switch it around, when we think, I won, I'm promoted, I did good things, but somehow inside I feel empty, or I'm exhausted, I'm burnt out, and we wonder, does God even love us anymore? Yes. Yes, God loves you. God loves you now because of the great things you did, and God loved you before you ever did anything. This passage says, you are saved by God's grace because of your faith. This salvation is God's gift. It's not something that you possessed. It's not something that you did to be proud of. Instead, you are God's accomplishment, created in Christ Jesus to do good things. God planned for these good things to be the way that you live your life. The problem is that when we get the cycle backwards, and this will allude to what Pastor Jenny will preach about next week, we get the cycle backwards, and instead of starting with acceptance, we start with our fruitfulness, and we hope to get back to the end, to our acceptance. And that's the way the world works. That's the way that we usually do things, and that's how we teach our children. We say, do things like get good grades, practice, and eventually then you're going to be identified as smart or as athletic or as a good musician. And then from there, you are going to get ultimately accepted. You'll get into the good school. And that's just one example. There are tons of examples, if you think through your life, and we'll talk about more of them next week, where we start with what we do and we hope to get acceptance. But that's not God's cycle of grace. Instead, we begin with acceptance and we work through, God works through us to produce the fruitfulness. And so I see in our world the tragic and big mess that we have from doing things this way. We see in the news people degrading each other in order to reach acceptance. We read of young women who go through years of abuse and trauma for the sake of achievement, that they're essentially going to eventually be good enough. This is what you have to do. You need to endure this so that you can get on the right team, so that you can land the right role, so you can get the right job. And we teach that through our culture. But no, that's not right. You, every one of you, are a child of God. You have incredible sacred worth because God said you did, because God said that you do. 1 John 3:1 says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called God's children. And that's what we are. Because the world didn't recognize him, it doesn't recognize us. Like that scripture says, sisters and brothers, we are God's children, and we cannot get our worth from the world because the world doesn't recognize us as God's children. But we, by God's grace, can recognize it in ourselves. We can recognize it in each other, and we can take that good news to the world, the hurting world, and say, God loves you, regardless of your achievements. The scripture says that we read today, God is rich in mercy. He brought us to life with Christ while we were dead as a result of those things that we did wrong. He did this because of his great love that he has for us. You are saved by God's grace. And God raised us up and seated us in the heavens with Christ Jesus. God did this to show future generations the greatness of his grace by the goodness that God has shown to us. So why do we have fruit? Why is that where our cycle ends? And you'll notice it doesn't really end. It never ends. As soon as you get to fruitfulness, you're back to acceptance, realizing that regardless of your fruit, you are accepted. And it's a continual cycle. But why are we given fruit? Why does God produce fruit in us? It's so that other people can see. That's the point. So that other people can see God's goodness. And the Bible is full of examples of people that were normal and failures that God used to reveal to us God's love. One example is from Genesis 27. It's the story of Jacob. Jacob is the grandson of Abraham, and Jacob was busy producing his own fruit without God, without being in this cycle. And he wanted God's approval so badly that he was willing to steal his brother's birthright. So this is the story of Jacob and Esau. And Esau was supposed to be blessed, but Jacob stole that blessing from him and tricked their father. And so he got in so much trouble for doing that he had to run away from home. And so he was running away from home. And what happens when you're running and you're running and you're running? You get exhausted, you get tired, you get burnt out. And that's what happened to Jacob. He got exhausted, tired, and burnt out. But in the midst of that, he had a dream. And in his dream, God was revealed. And a godly fruit was produced, the fruit of faith. And Jacob woke up from that dream and he said, surely God is in this place. God is here. And I would say, well, yes, Jacob, of course God is there. If you hadn't been being a scoundrel, you would have noticed God earlier. But he didn't. He deliberately deceived his brother. But God was still merciful. And Jacob received grace, and he believed. And what humbles me about this story is that throughout Scripture, many times, we see texts, and one of them is in Psalm 46, and it says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And I think the God of Jacob? Jacob was a swindler. He stole. He took something that belonged to his brother. He was trying to out-trick God. And he's the one that's held up of the God of Jacob. But ultimately, it's not about Jacob. It's not about his fruitfulness. It's about the God of. It's about God. It's not about Jacob. It's about Jacob's God. It's about your God and my God. And that God says to us scoundrels, to us that take things that don't belong to us and try to achieve things that we can never achieve through our works. And he says, I love you. I am rich in mercy and in forgiveness. And our fruitfulness is nothing but that flow of love that comes from God. And that's why there's such a variety. There's such a variety of gifts that I talked about already. And they can't be named or measured, and our metrics never measure up. If you think about this, God's very best fruit was Jesus. And listen to what happened to Jesus. He was despised, rejected, betrayed, deserted, abused, and killed. And that doesn't sound like something that's very successful. Doesn't sound like something we would say into a microphone, hey, I was betrayed this week. No, but the truth is that God's fruit in the cycle of grace, God's fruit comes from the worst of human experiences. That just as he brought resurrection from the worst in Jesus' life, he also can bring good fruit to us, through us, to the world, in our worst human experiences as well. We are accepted by our Heavenly Father. We are sustained by the Holy Spirit. We identify with Christ, and then we produce fruit from God through us to the world. And it's all for God's glory. If you would consider your own fruit. So think about that. What is the fruit that you produce? And you all produce fruit of some kind. Have you thought of your fruit? I was giving you some time. Okay. So you have your fruit in mind. What I want us to do is to practice what we're supposed to do with our fruit, because we're not supposed to hold our fruit for ourselves or to brag, but we're supposed to offer our fruit to God. So I asked Mary if she would play the doxology, and we can sing the doxology. So I want you to be thinking about whatever it is, whatever you do in your life, whatever your profession is, or what you do at home, or the thing that you identify as being something that you do. Think of that and offer that to God as we sing. Leah, will you go to the next slide, please? It's number 95 if you want to see it in the hymnal. God, every good and perfect gift comes from you. Thank you for the many blessings that you have given us. Free us from the idea that being fruitful can be done on our own. Save us from burnout. May we live fruitful lives without striving to be somebody. Because we already are. We are your child, your accomplishment. May we live in your grace, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.